Okay, thanks everyone. Can everybody hear me okay?
I'm back.
Okay. Just before I start, I just wanted to get a feeling for who's in the audience. How many of you are familiar with the Joint Commission and what it is that we do? Okay, excellent. I always like to ask that just in case people are not as familiar, but I'm going to spend a little bit of time today in the next 10 minutes or so talking about the work that we've been doing to advance the issues of effective communication, cultural competence, and patient and family-centered care in hospitals specifically. So as many of you know who raised your hands, the Joint Commission is an independent nonprofit organization that accredits and certifies over 19,000 healthcare organizations and programs across the country and internationally. We've recently revamped our mission and vision statements, and what the sections in red just really highlight that we've tried to focus a little more on health equity, really making sure that we're helping to improve the care of patients, all patients in hospitals and all other healthcare settings, really just making sure that we're helping to improve the way that healthcare organizations provide care to the public. So just to give some background on the role of communication in healthcare, I think everyone here would agree that communication is a cornerstone of patient safety, and we know that for many patients that their healthcare is communication dependent for everyone, and that accurate information is absolutely essential for several processes throughout the care continuum. Using the hospital situation as an example, you know that important information happens at admission, all the way through assessment, discharge and transfer, and for many patients, direct communication between patients and their providers can be affected by several factors. There's language and cultural issues, and if there's time at the end, I'll talk a little bit about the work that we've done at the Joint Commission that's focused on language and cultural issues, but also things like hearing or visual impairments, health literacy, which I'll try to focus on today, and cognitive limitation, but things also like intubation or diseases that can render patients unable to speak for a period of time. All of those things can affect the way that patients communicate with their providers. So how does low health literacy impact the healthcare encounter? Well, as you can see that, and again, as many of you know, having low health literacy can affect the way that patients navigate the healthcare system, where they present in the hospital, how they contact the hospital with questions about billing or other issues around their care. Low health literacy can affect the way that patients understand medicine and biology, and what terminology are people using. When people tell you you have hypertension, how many people really understand what that means? Do people have, how much do they understand about the procedures that they're about to undertake in a hospital? And then, of course, I'll spend most of my time today talking about the way that low health literacy can impact the way that patients communicate with their providers, and vice versa, the way that providers communicate back to their patients. I think a lot of what we do at the Joint Commission is really focus on how hospitals give information to patients, but I think what we've tried to do in some of the initiatives I'll talk about today is really focus on the ability of patients to provide information back to their providers, and it's that two-way communication and that ability for patients to be a part of those discussions around care and different procedures that really is the point that we're really trying to make here. And then again, also, low health literacy can affect the way that patients advocate for their own care. And what kinds of questions can they ask? What kinds of questions are they asking at the hospital and at their doctor's offices? And what's involved in those questions? So when we look at the Joint Commission's support for effective communication, of course, we have our Joint Commission accreditation standards. These are standards that I'll, again, focus on hospitals, but hospitals that are accredited by the Joint Commission have to comply with these particular standards. I'll highlight some of the existing standards that we have where you can see how some of these health literacy issues can move their way into some of these standards, and then I'll also highlight our new standards for patient-centered communication. Over the years, we've also had an opportunity to develop several white papers and monographs around the issues of health literacy. One of the things that we've done particularly is we've really focused on communication in the broader sense. We've brought in some of the language and cultural issues, and we've addressed health literacy kind of in an indirect way, but we are actually looking into the possibility of doing some more work that's more focused on health literacy. But in 2007, this What Did the Doctor Say? Improving Health Literacy to Protect Patient Safety was a white paper that we put together based on an expert roundtable of national experts we brought in to the Joint Commission offices to talk about what kinds of recommendations we could make at the national level about what people should be doing to address health literacy in the nation's hospitals. And then I'll spend a little bit of time today also talking about our Roadmap for Hospitals document, which is more of a guidance monograph for organizations to advance these issues of communication, cultural competence, and patient and family-centered care, but I'll highlight some of the health literacy issues specifically. So just to talk about some of the existing standards that we have, I didn't want to put up a ton of standards language, but just to highlight that we do have standards in our manuals that require hospitals to provide information that patients can understand. That involves tailoring the information to the age, language, and ability of the patients to understand, and then specific to patients who have language and cultural needs, providing interpreting and translation to those patients. Hospitals are also required to provide patient education that meets the needs of their patients. Within that standard, there's a requirement that patients are given a learning needs assessment to identify any barriers that they might have for communicating with their providers. And there's also a requirement here where patients are evaluated for their level of understanding based on the education materials that they're provided. We have standards also that focus on hospitals making sure that patients participate in their care decisions. So here, involving patients and families specifically in care discussions, making sure that patients have an opportunity to ask questions, to get additional clarification on some of the decisions that they're making about their treatment. And then there's also some requirements here about providing information, written information to patients about their rights to refuse care. And so here you can see how, you know, some of these different health literacy issues about plain language and also being able to give patients an opportunity to ask additional questions comes into play. Particularly with our standard about informed consent. You know, the Joint Commission views informed consent not just as a form that people sign and they put it in their medical record. This is really a process that involves several different discussions about risks and benefits to treatment and risks and benefits to refusing treatment. And so it's really a process that the patient needs to be involved in, and there needs to be a way to make sure that patients understand that information and can participate in their medical decisions. Just to touch a little bit back on the white paper that we released in 2007, this report is available on our website to download for free. It has three main recommendations for researchers, policymakers, and individuals in healthcare, really focusing on making effective communication a priority, making sure that you incorporate strategies to address communication across the care continuum in the hospital, and then pursuing policy changes that improve communication. Within each of these recommendations in the white paper, there's also a series of practices and strategies to help organizations do these things. And hopefully in the last few years, we've really tried to also echo some of these recommendations in the work that we've done recently. Just to talk a little bit about our patient-centered communication standards, these are the new standards that we have that are focused on communication issues in general, but also you can see some of the aspects of health literacy here. We have a new standard in our provision of care, treatment, and services chapter that's focused on the importance of identifying and addressing patient communication needs. We have some existing changes that we made, to an existing standard about the provision of language services and what we mean by interpreting and translation services. We put some additional clarification around what some of the qualifications might be for individuals that provide interpreting and translation services. We have two new requirements focused on the collection of patient-level data, specifically language, preferred language for discussing healthcare, and the patient's race and ethnicity. And then we have two specific requirements around patient and family-centered care issues, which are to allow patients to have access to a support individual when they're in the hospital, so making sure they have access to somebody that they feel will help them through their stay in the hospital, can potentially advocate for their care and provide emotional support. And then we also have a requirement that ensures that patients are receiving care free from discrimination. Just to show a little bit of standards language, since you can't go to a Joint Commission talk without seeing something about the standards, this is just an example of what the actual new standard we have is that's focused on effective communication. Hospital effectively communicates with patients when providing care, treatment, and services. And then there's two elements of performance or two requirements within this standard. The first is to identify the patient's oral and written communication needs, which includes their preferred language. We provided a note here just to give some clarification on what do we mean by examples of communication needs and of interest to the audience. The last line here in the note is really focused on the provision of plain language materials and making sure that if the patient has a communication, oral or written communication need around the provision of plain language materials, that information is collected and addressed in the second element of performance here, that the hospital communicates with the patient in a manner that meets those needs. Just to talk briefly about the roadmap for hospitals, this again is our guidance document designed really to help hospitals integrate communication, cultural competence, and patient and family-centered care issues into their systems of care. There's several recommendations in this document. It's also available on our website for free. I brought one copy of it with me. But we've had over 35,000 downloads of this document in the last year, and we've had some really good feedback from hospitals really using it to give them additional guidance and to help them look for resources and tools that are available in the field. Specifically around health literacy, we recommend that hospitals integrate health literacy into the strategies of their patient discussions and integrate health literacy strategies, rather, into patient discussions and materials. We talk about developing written and non-written materials, looking at alternative forms of providing information, and then also consider pilot testing their materials with patients or the community or adult literacy programs, and similar to what some of the other speakers have talked about. And then one of the other recommendations is to support the patient's ability to understand and act on health information, and somebody talked about TeachBack earlier as well. So we make similar recommendations. The document itself has about 100 pages, 50 pages of it are recommendations, the other 50 are all resources. There's a lot of information on Joint Commission standards in here, laws and regulations focused around language access, and then a whole section on resources that has links to other organizations working in the field, as well as toolkits and PDF documents from other organizations. I won't talk about this for very long, but just to highlight some of the other initiatives we have at the Joint Commission. We've done some previous work focused more on language and culture versus focusing solely on health literacy, but there is a connection there that we have some research materials available on our website. We have an existing study right now that's focused on the meeting the needs of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered communities, so bringing in some additional aspects of cultural competence. And the Speak Up initiative is just something I like to highlight because so much of what we do with the Joint Commission is to help organizations help their patients, and Speak Up is really focused on patients. These are patient-focused materials. They're also available on our website for free, but really focused on patients being engaged in care discussions and speaking up about their own care. The Know Your Rights brochure is focused on various patient rights, but has some information about the patient's right to have an interpreter, and Understanding Your Doctors and Other Caregivers has some information about health literacy. I think that's all that I have for today, and then we'll take questions at the end.